Take your Bibles tonight, if you would. John chapter 18. We started there last week. Jesus came into the Garden of Gethsemane with his 11 disciples, and Judas led a band of temple guards and other men in to arrest him, and they led him to Annas, the former high priest. Jesus had requested when the band of men came into the garden, he said, who are you looking for? And they answered, well, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, well, I'm him. Let these go. And that happened twice in the exchange between this band of men and Jesus. And it appears from what, as we read, that his request was granted, that the other disciples were let go, even though one of them, Peter in particular, had taken a sword and attacked a servant of the high priest, Malchus, and ended up cutting off his ear. Again, it's not recorded in John, but Luke records that Jesus touched the ear and healed it. But it appears that the disciples were not arrested. And we start in verse 15 tonight, where the Bible says, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. John doesn't mention the fact that some of the other gospels do, that all the disciples fled when they arrested Jesus. But it's implied here when it says that Peter followed Jesus. And that other disciple that's not named, most Bible scholars, and I agree, think it was the Apostle John, the human author of this book. The Bible says that John was known to the high priest. And I think when the Bible says that John was known to the high priest, they weren't friends or anything like that, but they knew each other. And I think the high priest knew that John was a disciple of Jesus. I don't think John was ashamed of it. I think John made it known to everybody that he came in contact with that he was a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ. And so he was known not only by the high priest, but the lady that kept the door of the high priest's palace where he lived. And so when they took Jesus in, John just went up to this lady that he knew, and he got entry into the palace as well. But it says in verse 16, but Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. So Peter wasn't known. John saw that they weren't even going to let Peter in, even into the courtyard. And again, there was a courtyard and then the house or the palace itself. So he went out and talked to this girl that he knew and brought in Peter. In verse 17, then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. I mean, this wasn't the high priest asking Peter. This wasn't anybody in authority asking Peter. This was a lady, a girl, that kept the door. And she knew John. She knew John was one of Jesus' disciples. It would just be a simple assumption. Well, if John is asking for this man to come in, then he must be a disciple too. And so she just asked the obvious questions. The obvious question, oh, are you one of his disciples too? I mean, not in a threatening way, just and again, what would be a natural, logical question when John came and said, hey, let my friend in too, let this man in too. Are you one of his disciples? He saith, Peter saith, I am not. I wondered this. What did John think when Peter said that? Again, he wasn't afraid to admit that he was one of Jesus' disciples. And this was the same guy that a few hours earlier had stood in the upper room and told Jesus, all these other guys may forsake you, but not me. I'm willing to die for you. And here he is, not standing before the Roman governor, not standing before the high priest, standing before a lady that keeps the door, and he's not even willing to admit to her. Again, no threat on his life. She wasn't in any authority, but not even to her was he willing to say, yes, I'm one of his disciples. In answer to her question, he says, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, verse 18, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So they were out in the courtyard. They made a fire because it was a cold night. Peter said, well, I'm okay now. I mean, you know, the girl asked me if I was a disciple, but none of these other people will. So I'm okay. And so he goes over to the fire and begins warming himself by the fire. Now, everybody here has probably heard a sermon about warming yourself at the enemy's fire. Every time we associate with the enemy, it leads to dire results. How many Christians do we know, and you could probably name some as well as I could, that have gotten into trouble and have done something they shouldn't have done because they weren't in the place where they should have been? How many Christians have ended up doing something, again, that they shouldn't have done because they weren't where they should have been? Yes, Peter should have been there close to Jesus like John was. But he shouldn't have been standing around the fire with these that were enemies of Christ. I thought about that little song that we sing sometimes on Sunday morning. And I'm sure they sing it in junior church, and Kelly probably sings it in her class with the toddlers, about that verse that says, be careful, little feet, where you go. And we need to be careful where we decide to go, because the Father up above is looking down in love, and he would not direct us to the fire that Peter stood by. Verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. So the scene switches now from the courtyard into the palace or the residence itself. The high priest was probably not Caiaphas, who was the high priest at that point, but probably his father-in-law, Annas, who was the former high priest. Remember last week I told you he passed the office to five of his sons. None of them did any good, and so he finally passed it to his son-in-law. But Annas was still behind the scenes. And it says there that they took Jesus when they arrested him to Annas in verse 13, and they led him away to Annas first. And so when it says there in verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus the question about his disciples and his doctrine, it was probably Annas who asked him that question. And the purpose of the question was to find out on what basis did Jesus teach and what basis did he make disciples. Was he just a rabbi like other rabbis that taught and made disciples of in that day? Or did he claim to be the Messiah? That's what Annas wanted to know. That's what he was asking. And so in his reply, which is in the next couple verses, Jesus doesn't respond to how he's making disciples. Okay? He responds about his doctrine, but he does so in a unique way. Look at verse 20. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Let's go ahead and read verse 21. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. He said, look, I haven't said anything in secret. Now, he did do some private teaching. We know that. He was with Nicodemus by himself. He was with the woman at the well, Jacob's well in Sychar. And there are other instances where Jesus taught one-on-one. But for the most part, his teaching and his preaching was very public. He did it in the synagogues, in different cities that he visited. He did it in the temple there in Jerusalem often. He did it in the fields and on the hillsides. And again, he said, I've done it in places where the Jews come frequently. They come to synagogue. They come to the temple. They've heard me teach. If you want to know what I've taught, why don't you ask them? They know what I've taught. They've heard what I've taught. Now, there was one of the officers that were there that heard Jesus answer Annas this way, and he thought he was showing disrespect to the high priest. So in verse 22, the Bible says, "And when he," Jesus, "had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Answerest thou the high priest so?'" So he slapped him. He just slapped him. Again, because he was showing in his, he thought that in his answer he was showing disrespect to the high priest. Now, you know, in this particular case, Jesus didn't turn the other cheek. He said this: "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" And what Jesus was saying is, hey, look, if I've not told the truth, if I've said something that's evil, then prove it. Prove it. But if I've told the truth, I've been honest in my response, why did you slap me? You had no reason to slap me. Verse 24, "Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest." So Annas saw that Jesus was smarter than he was, that he wasn't going to get anything out of him. And so he sent him to his son-in-law, again, who was the high priest in this case. And we read in the other Gospels the meeting that Caiaphas had with Jesus. Because they're recorded in the other Gospels, John doesn't take the time to record it. Now, we're going to come back to what they did with Jesus after he went to Caiaphas in a minute, but now we're going to go up back outside for a minute. In verse 25, "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him," notice, "they said therefore unto him, 'Art not thou also one of the disciples?'" Again, a couple guys standing around the fire looking at Peter. Maybe they saw how he came in. Maybe they saw that it was John that came and got the lady that manned the door, so to speak, to let him in. And so, again, not the high priest. Perhaps there were some temple guards around the fire, and so Peter had to, you know, should have worried a little bit more about what he said. But they said, "Aren't you also one of his disciples?" Again, both the question that the girl asked and the question that whoever asked the question a second time here, the question was phrased in such a way that it would have been easy for Peter to give a negative response. And he did. He said the second time, the Bible says, he denied it and said, "I am not." Again, Satan was tempting Peter. This was the one that had stood and said, "If all these other guys betray you, I will not. I will stand by you even to the point of death." And remember, Jesus said, "Peter, Satan has desired to sift you." And that's exactly what Satan was doing as this lady and these asked him as he stood around the fire if he was of one of Jesus' disciples. Remember, Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you," when he said Satan desired to sift you. Now, verse 26. Now it gets even closer. "One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, 'Did not I see thee in the garden with him?'" We don't know. The girl probably was in the garden. We don't know if the two that stood around the fire that asked him the second time, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" were in the garden or not when he was arrested. But here was somebody that was there that was saying to Peter, "Hey, didn't I just see you in the garden? Weren't you the one that picked up the sword and attacked my relative?" I don't know if it was a cousin, a brother, but some kinsman. "Weren't you the one that picked up the sword and attacked my kinsman?" What he was saying, "Hey, I saw you there. I saw you in the garden. You are one of his disciples." Now, John doesn't mention it, but the other Gospels say that Peter began to curse and then denied again. And immediately the cock crew. So for the third time, Peter said, no, I am not one of his disciples. Just like Jesus said, hey, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And when that cock crowed, Peter looked toward Jesus. Jesus looked toward Peter. Their eyes, I believed, met each other, locked. And Matthew records that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. The fact that he had professed that he would stand by Jesus regardless of what came. And here, just a few hours later, he had denied his master three times. And his guilt just overwhelmed him. He had said, I'm going to be strong. But when the trial came, he failed. But he wept over his sin. He wept over his sin. Christians would be a lot better off when we sin to get a look at our Savior and to weep over our sin. Because a person that weeps over their sin, there's hope for that person. The hope of forgiveness. The hope of a revival in their life. It's when Christians are not sorry for their sin. And by the way, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. I mean, we may harden our heart, but the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. And what God wants us to do is, just like Peter, to be brokenhearted about our sin and to weep. And to weep for the sin that has come into our life. So, Peter denied the third time about the same time that the Sanhedrin was finishing with their trial of Christ in the high priest's palace. Now again, the events I'm going to talk about now to just make the transitions not recorded in the book of John, but it's recorded in the other Gospels. It was against Jewish law to hold a trial by night. So what they'd done in the high priest's palace was illegal according to their law. So the Sanhedrin got together right after dawn to make it legal. Said, okay, we can't do it at night, so we're going to do it in the day. And they decided that Jesus should be put to death. Now remember, John doesn't record it, but when Jesus went to Caiaphas, the questions that Caiaphas asked, they came to the conclusion. And the way Jesus answered them, he said, are you the Son of God? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus said, you say I am. And the Jews took that as his admission of blasphemy, claiming to be the Son of God, was blasphemy. And so they decided at night, when Caiaphas was over the Sanhedrin, that Jesus should be put to death. But it was at night, so it was illegal. So they gathered early the next morning to come to hold a formal trial in the daytime to make it legal. But it was still illegal because Jewish law said that you could not assign a capital punishment. In other words, you cannot assign the death penalty to somebody the same day that they were tried. You had to wait at least one day. Okay, and so they were still illegal against their own law in what they did to Jesus. They decided on the death penalty. The Romans gave the Sanhedrin the authority to exercise in religious and secular civil matters. But they did not give them the authority to put anybody to death. And so the Jews had to take Jesus to the Roman governor. They had to take him to Pilate. Now, we'll quit here for the night because we're out of time, but I'll just give you a little preview of next week's lesson. The Jews hated Pilate. They hated Pilate. And I'll tell you some things that he did next week to cause that hatred. Pilate hated the Jews. His official residence, when he was in Palestine, was in Caesarea. He only came to Jerusalem when he had to. And the only reason he was in Jerusalem at this particular point in time was it was Passover time. And Passover time, the Romans thought the Jews were going to rise up in rebellion, and they thought that Passover time, especially with so much talk about the Messiah coming on the scene, that that was going to happen. And so Pilate had to be there. He had to be there. They hated each other, but the Jews had no choice but to bring Jesus to Pilate because they wanted to put him to death. And that's what we'll pick up next week. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying back in the library. Again, I'd invite all the men to just go back. We have a good time. We have a good time. You say, well, you're praying. How can you have a good time? We have a good time when we pray. The Holy Spirit's there, and you can feel the presence of the Lord. And so I'd invite you to come back to the library and pray with us. The ladies will be praying over here. You're welcome to join them. But thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand, and we'll have a word of prayer. And be dismissed.